One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man, crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping, praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
There was a beautiful gate. The people called it the Beautiful Gate, the Nicanor Gate. According to the records of historian Josephus, the gate was a double gate plated with gold and silver, and its many decorations made it a splendid gate. It was a 23-meter gate of bronze color, strikingly great, grand, and majestic. Many people passed this gate. This was because the gate stood between the court of the Gentiles outside of the temple and the court of women inside the temple. In front of the magnificent gate was a man who seemed entirely out of place, a man who could hardly be spotted amid the grandness. According to Acts chapter 4, verse 22, the man was over 40. But he had never walked his entire life. The Bible does not tell for how long he begged in front of the gate of the temple, but he would have spent a long time alone. Then one day he sees two familiar people walking toward him. Let's look at verse 1. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. The apostles Peter and John were going to the temple like any other day. This was at 3 in the afternoon. For the Jews, a new day began when the sun set, so 3 in the afternoon was the last prayer time of the day before the sun set. But a man came into Peter's sight. It was the crippled man in front of the temple gate. It was not like Peter had seen him for the first time. Before that day, he saw the beggar, and this made him feel bad. But on that day, the beggar, with his head bowing down, caught his eye unlike the other days. Why was this? Peter and John at the time were filled with the Holy Spirit. If you look at Acts chapter 2, we can presume what the situation was like for the two apostles at the time. At the time of the Pentecost, one of the three festivals of the Jews, the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven and Peter is reborn as the apostle we know him as. With the power of the Holy Spirit, he preached during Pentecost and was able to witness 3,000 people repenting and being baptized. These people stayed together, gathered at the temple together, conducted the Holy Communion at their homes, and praised God. How would Peter have felt witnessing all of this before his eyes? And who would he have thought of the most? It would have been our Lord Jesus. Love makes us think of a person and miss that person all of a sudden to the extent of tearing up. Jesus looked to Peter with eyes of love, even though he denied him three times. Jesus made breakfast for his disciples and waited for them, the disciples who were unable to catch even one fish in the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus did not give up on his disciples, even though they were of no help when he prayed before his crucifixion, so that sweat turned into blood. Jesus called Peter a fisherman of Galilee and gave him a mission and pledged to be with him until the world's end. Peter would have felt like he could see Jesus and hear him, and so he would have missed him greatly, filled with love for Jesus in his heart. It may not be surprising that at this time Peter was able to see this crippled man who was sitting by himself at the most humblest of places on earth. When you love, you are able to see things. If you are filled with the love of the Lord, you will be able to see things that did not occur to you before, and see things in a different way from before. And you start praying and sharing your thoughts with others. Because love has the power of making unseen things seen and unheard things heard. When Peter and John came to the temple, the crippled man, without much expectation, asked them for money. Peter then looks to him and says in verse 4, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." The word that is translated into look actually means pay attention to in Greek. It is not the same verb, however, as look in the former part of verse 4. The former look means in Greek to gaze at. This word was used in Acts chapter 1 verse 10, when the disciples looked up when Jesus ascended to the heaven. Peter is looking at the crippled man who is not looking properly at the two apostles with his eyes. Look to Jesus when he ascended to heaven and is telling the crippled man to pay attention to them. Then the crippled man gave them his full attention. Here we need to think of another man who is in a different circumstance from the crippled man in front of the gate, but essentially is in the same situation. The man is the Apostle Paul, whom we know well. Acts 21 tells about Paul, who returned to Jerusalem from his third missionary journey, being dragged out of the temple due to conspiracies brewed by the Jews of Ephesus. The commander of the Roman troops, Lysias, heard of this, and Paul was taken by the Roman soldiers to Antipatris. Paul tells he is a Jew from Tarsus, Cilicia, and starts making his defense in Aramaic to the crowd. He tells of what happened at Damascus, recorded in Acts chapter 9, and tells of his meeting with Ananias. That's at Acts 22, verses 12 to 13. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Paul, who saw the light of God, hears the voice of Jesus. And he realized that persecuting followers of Jesus was essentially the act of persecuting Jesus. Paul, who was blinded, went to Damascus and, according to Acts chapter 9, did not eat or drink anything and prayed. Then God says Ananias, who was a devout observer of the law and respected by all the Jews, to Damascus to pray for him. At the time, Ananias says to Paul, who was Saul at the time, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." Then Paul was able to see Ananias. The verbs used in the former and latter sentences have been translated into two different verbs in Korean, but in Greek, this is the same verb, anablepo. We need to think of these two scenes. One man could see but could not walk. In front of this man stands the apostle Peter. Another man could walk but could not see. In front of this man was a person of God, Ananias. Peter said to the crippled man, "Lepo, see." And Ananias said to Paul, "Anablepo, look up." And by the power of God, the crippled man walked, and Paul, who could not see, was able to see. I want us to think about two things here. First is that God sends his people to his people who are in suffering and takes care of each of them. Ananias' name means God is merciful. Paul, who could not see, receives the prayer of Ananias. Then something like scales fall from his eyes and he can see Ananias' face. How bright and merciful would Ananias' face would have looked in Paul's eyes after praying for 3 days in pitch darkness. The face Paul saw when he turned his face up was not simply the face of a man, but the face of God, our Creator, who is worthy of praise. Peter did not tell the crippled man to look up. He told the man to look. The Bible does not say, but reading between the lines, we are able to presume that Paul, filled with love for Jesus, would have sat down in front of the crippled man to look at him at eye level, like Jesus did when he met people, humbling himself. The crippled man would have seen the eyes of Jesus who worked through Peter. The second thing to note is that God, who looks at each of us at eye level, invites his people to a new world based on his word. If you look at verse 8, it says the crippled man jumped to his feet and began to walk. He went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. This means the crippled man not only walked through the physical gate, but that the gate in his life newly opened in Christ, and that his life was restored as God's temple. This was also the case of Paul. It was not only his eyes that were restored through Ananias. Acts chapter 22, verses 14 to 15 say, "The God of our fathers has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth." You will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. As such, God called Paul as a person of God to be his witness, especially before the Gentiles. His calling was to a journey of suffering, but for Paul, who realized God's grace and love, the journey was one of thanksgiving to Jesus, who did not spare his life for us. What kind of calling have you received from the Lord? Is it a calling to journey of suffering, which you would like to avoid? But faith is not taking the journey we would like to take, but the journey we should take, even if it makes us suffer. This is how the seed sown can be reaped with joy at God's time. This is how we as Christians live. The next part of the passage tells in detail what Peter said and did in front of the crippled man. Verses 6 to 7 say, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong." Peter, who was filled with the love of Jesus, paid attention to the crippled man like Jesus did to him. And he says something that is remembered in the history of Christianity. "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." The crippled man would not have understood what Peter said. He would have been baffled as to how to understand the situation that unfolded before him. But then something unimaginable happens. Peter helps him up, taking hold of his right hand. We need to think about the situation from the perspective of the crippled man. According to the Greek text recorded by Luke, who authored Acts and was a doctor, the crippled man was born crippled and had never stood up or walked for over 40 years. Would he have been able to get up because Peter told him to get up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? It would have been difficult. Please understand me bringing up a personal story. Although it was not the same experience as that of the crippled man in front of the gate, I've gone through a similar experience and would like to share this with you. On July 10th, 2006, I was sent by the place I worked for in my 30s to Japan to set up a Christian broadcasting station there. The country of Japan was not unfamiliar to me because I had studied there when I was in my 20s. But when I went there again, everything seemed unfamiliar. This was probably because I didn't know what to do there the next day, who I had to meet, because nothing had been decided. I felt like a small boat afloat in the foggy sea without a compass. There, my mission work to spread the gospel through broadcasting began. Then 7 months later, on April 27th, 2007, I came across an experience I can never forget. That day, we were supposed to film for an entire day. But that morning, I injured my leg at the filming site. It was so painful, I found it hard to walk. I thought about canceling the filming schedule for the afternoon, but we were not in circumstances where this was an option. So I put up with the pain and we carried through with an afternoon schedule, and I was unable to go to the hospital. When the night came, the pain got worse. My heart became burdened as I thought I may have to return to Korea, giving up all the mission work. But that night, God's grace came upon me. When I opened my eyes in the morning, I thought my leg may have been cured. So with my right hand, I touched my right leg. The pain was gone. I began moving my leg, and I felt no pain. What would you have done if you were in my situation? Wouldn't you have praised God and gotten up? Like the crippled man who jumped about and praised God. But I could not do so. I just lay down in the same position and felt my leg and bent and straightened my leg repeatedly. I could not get up. Because I was scared that the pain might come back if I stood up. I was scared about how I would cope if my expectations did not match reality. If I, who walked my entire life and knew what it was to walk, did not have the courage to stand up due to the pain of the day before and my fear, despite having experienced God's grace, it goes without saying that the crippled man who had never walked before and did not know what it was to walk could stand up right after Peter spoke to him. If Jesus, who knew the circumstances of the crippled man, did not hold the man's hand through Peter, the man would not have been able to stand up. Jesus is someone who knows each of our circumstances and our thoughts better than anyone else. If, like Peter in today's passage, someone had extended their hand to me in my room that day, I would have gotten up more quickly. But this was impossible as there was no one. I just stared at the ceiling for the longest time and then finally mustered the courage to get up. Praying, I first raised up my upper body and with faith held onto God's invisible hand and slowly got up. This experience changed my life and the way I thought. It made me realize how important it is to extend one's hand to another person. It also made me realize how precious it is that we are able to hold onto God's invisible hand with faith. During the 3 years I spent in Japan, which is referred to as a grave for missionaries, I think rather than doing something out of my own will, I witnessed and realized how God worked each moment in all the events that happened, like the servants at the wedding feast in Cana who knew what happened to the water they brought. For us, there is God's visible hand and His invisible hand. In today's passage, Peter helped up the crippled man by taking his right hand by God's visible hand. The same hand was also extended to Paul in Damascus, which was 213 kilometers away from Jerusalem. I referred to Acts 22 verses 12 to 13 as I mentioned Paul's meeting with Ananias. Let's look at verse 11. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of light had blinded me. Paul also had people who extended their hands to him. These were people who took Paul, who was perplexed by his blindness, by the hand and took him to Ananias. God's hand worked 3 days later through Ananias' prayer for Paul, which led to Paul's sight. God's hand worked again, transcending 2,000 years of time and space. God's hand worked in invisible form, in the life of a person like myself who injured his leg while carrying out mission work alone in the country of Japan, a tough place for missionaries. God works in so many people's lives. The Bible is a compilation of God's working in visible and in invisible form. Mission work that is being conducted around the world is also of God's work, visible and invisible to us. God allowed me another opportunity to experience His working. On June 18 last year, I was struck with cerebral infarction. The next day, when I looked at the Bible, my right eye was unable to see properly. 4 days later, I went to the emergency room and doctors told me I had cerebral infarction. In early October, I had to go to the emergency room once again. This time, I had pain in my chest and my left leg, which doctors could not determine the cause of. Painkillers didn't work in the beginning, so I had to spend 3 days in immense pain. For some time, I could not walk properly and while I wasn't fully recovered, I left the hospital with some discomfort in my leg. And I had to spend more time alone for recovery. Suffering and hardships can make a person more mature, but in many cases leaves the person damaged. But during my sick leave, I suffered physically, but my heart was not damaged. This was because God extended His hand, whether visible or invisible, to me through the members of the church. God's hand was seen when members of the church sent me text messages of encouragement, or when they sent me food thinking I would have difficulty eating as I live alone. God's invisible hand was extended through intercession prayers. Every time I heard someone or a group tell me they were praying for me, I may have been in physical difficulty, but the prayers enabled me to love the Lord even more. I was more grateful because I had only started ministering at this church recently, and many members of the church may not have seen me in person, as I was in charge of external affairs of the church. It was a time of thanksgiving in which I realized, through the encouragement and prayers of the members of the church who had never even seen me, that there are people who remember, think of, and pray for someone like me. Sometimes, I still have a hard time because I haven't fully recovered, but the gratefulness has helped me return to the church. We are currently in difficult times. We are not only unable to come to offer worship at church, there are also many people who have come under difficulty due to the coronavirus. There may be people who are on the verge of falling apart because of unexpected suffering and hardship. Others may be okay as of now, but be worried about future uncertainties. There may be people who are suffering from physical weakness and others who have deep scars on their hearts. But let us not forget, even if nobody is praying for us, there is someone who is the most concerned about us and intercedes for us. This is someone who knows our circumstances the best and works in our lives in visible and invisible ways. This is someone who has the greatest hope and expectation for our lives, even if we have given up on our lives. Let us love him who is our strength more than before. And let us live as his visible and invisible hands, regardless of what circumstances we are in. Let this not just be talk, but let us extend our hands and pray for the isolated, the lonely, and those who are in difficulties as the visible and invisible hands of God. Faith is not taking the path we want to take, but taking the path we should take, even if this requires suffering. Let us pray. Our loving Father God, we are able to climb a steep hill if we are able to see even the smallest white cloud in the blue sky as we look toward the cloud as we climb. We thank you for reminding us that however steep the hill in our lives may be, that you, Lord, are with us, praying for us and working in visible and invisible ways. Like Peter, who extended God's hand to the crippled man who lived without hope, or the people who extended God's hand to Paul, who could not see after seeing the great light to meet Ananias, or Ananias, who extended God's hand to Paul, who prayed without eating or drinking for 3 days. Let us serve as God's visible or invisible hands to serve others in this world. Let us not give up this determination and live as branches of you, our grapevine. Let us not forget that faith is not taking the path we want to take, but taking the path we must take, even if this requires suffering. Let us not forget that whatever suffering or hardship we may be in, the reason we do not fall apart is because you, Lord, are holding onto us even as we pray as this minute. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.